Good morning. It's Wednesday, February 26th. I'm Beth Goulet, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Southwest Kansas communities are feeling the effects of intensifying anti-immigrant rhetoric in politics. Promises of mass deportations have caused anxiety to spread throughout the region. There's widespread misinformation on social media about immigration customs enforcement raids, which is fueling fear and anxiety.
My other fear is that there won't be no comprehensive immigration reform to give legal status to families who have been here for years.
We'll hear about how fear is already part of the daily lives of these Kansans after the news. It may be several days before we know the final results of Wichita's school district's proposed bond issue. Yesterday's vote was too close to call, as KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports.
Unofficial results from the Sedgwick County Election Office show bond opponents leading by just over 200 votes. Election workers must still count provisional ballots as well as any mail ballots postmarked on Election Day. Results won't be final until a vote canvass on March 6th. Ben Davis is the spokesman for a group that opposed the $450 million bond. He says voters want lower taxes and well-managed public schools.
It seems like 259 has a lot of money and a really big budget, and we're just not really convinced that they're spending all that money exactly where it needs to be.
Wichita School Board President Diane Albert said in a statement that the district's building needs will not go away, but the focus remains on improving student outcomes. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
A Kansas Catholic priest who died during the Korean War has been declared venerable by the Vatican. As KMUW's Rose Conlon reports, it brings Father Emil Capon one step closer to sainthood.
Father Capon was born in the small central Kansas town of Pilsen. He was awarded a Medal of Honor for dragging wounded soldiers to safety in Korea before being captured. Scott Carter is coordinator for Capon's Cause for Sainthood.
He eventually died in the prison camp May 23, 1951. But, you know, for the men there and for all of us, his story continues to reach out beyond the grave.
The Vatican will next investigate alleged miracles attributed to Capon after his death. Two confirmed miracles are needed for canonization as a saint. The decree comes as 88-year-old Pope Francis battles double pneumonia. For KMUW News, I'm Rose Conlin.
New projections show Wichita's 2026 budget deficit will be smaller than previously predicted. KMUW's Celia Hack reports.
Last August, the city predicted it would face a $3.7 million budget shortfall in 2026. The deficit appeared after the city raised wages post-pandemic for many of its employees. Now, the predicted deficit has shrunk to less than $500,000 in 2026. Wichita Finance Director Mark Manning says that's because of the growth in property valuations, as well as the city's strong interest earnings.
Again, we still are structurally imbalanced, but the takeaway is our position is improving, which is really good.
The Sedgwick County appraiser said last week that the majority of residential properties would see value increases in 2025, with a median increase of 9%. Additionally, the city's financial position improved because it has many unfilled staff positions, which provide salary savings. For KMUW News, I'm Celia Hack.
The Trump administration has discussed adding a 25% tariff on Canadian goods. Farmers and ag officials are worried that that might make a key ingredient needed for fertilizer more expensive. Harvest Public Media contributor A.J. Jones has more.
Farmers across the Midwest rely on potash, a key mineral compound used to produce fertilizer. America imports over 80% of its potash from Canada. The White House threat to place tariffs on Canadian imports is currently on a 30-day freeze set to expire in March. Bill Knudsen is an agricultural economist at Michigan State University. He says a tariff would hurt U.S. farmers.
Just about any crop, you're using potash in some way, so that's going to reduce your profitability. We're already looking at kind of a decline in farm income, especially for field crop producers in the upcoming year.
A potash mine in Michigan is waiting to see if the Department of Energy will move forward with an over $1 billion loan conditionally approved by President Joe Biden. I'm A.J. Jones, Harvest Public Media.
The remains of a Wichita man killed during World War II have been identified. The Department of Defense says Herbert Tennyson was piloting a plane that crashed during a bombing run in New Guinea in 1944. Tennyson was 24 years old. Wreckage from the bomber was discovered in the waters off New Guinea in 2017. A few years later, remains were removed from the site and sent to a facility that helps identify remains of soldiers missing in action. Tennyson will be buried in Wichita on a future date. Wichita will see the return of Elsewhere Festival from last year, this time with a name change. KMUW's Mia Hennen has more.
Somewhere Festival will be held in downtown Wichita this June. People behind the two-day event aim to showcase Wichita's unique musical scene. Chase Koch is the founder of Movement Music, which helps organize Somewhere Festival. He says the festival aims to grow Wichita's music community, both for performers and listeners.
Going to a lot of shows from being a teenager all the way until now, just my insight was always the power of music to unify people and bring people together.
The festival will include performances from artists such as Suki Waterhouse and Deadmau5. Many local musicians will also perform. The event will also feature conference workshops, art installations, organizations that support sober living, and other groups focused on social change. For KMUW News, I'm Mia Hennen.
The basketball tournament will return this summer to Koch Arena. The Wichita State alumni team, the Aftershocks, will return as the featured team in the Wichita Regional. Connor Frankamp and Rashard Kelly are the first players to join the Aftershocks roster. The 8-team regional is at WSU for a sixth consecutive year. The tournament will take place July 18th through the 23rd. Tickets go on sale May 6th. The winner of the 64-team tournament wins $1 million. For more information, go to tbthoops.com. We'll be back after this.
Wichita Talks is back again this year. KMUW is partnering with the Wichita Public Library for the third year to present a series of 5-minute presentations from 10 different speakers on the topic of breaking barriers. From overcoming impossible expectations to learning to live with an unexpected challenge, we want to hear from you. You can find more about this year's program and apply to be a speaker at kmuw.org.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Beth Golay. Southwest Kansas communities are feeling the effects of intensifying anti-immigrant rhetoric in politics. Promises of mass deportations have caused anxiety to spread throughout the region. As Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports, that fear has already hindered the daily lives of these Kansans.
Just off of Main Street in Garden City, Kansas, crowds of people carrying posters rally in opposition against the deportation of immigrants here without legal status. Cars whiz by and honk their horns. The people proudly display their posters and flags. This comes on the heels of promises from the Trump administration to crack down on immigration and deport up to 11 million people.
We are the majority! Where are we? No los miro, ¿dónde están?
While major cities in the Midwest have pockets of Latinos, they make up the majority in these rural Kansas towns. There are also significant Somali and Afghan communities. For towns like Liberal and Dodge City, almost 20% of people here are without legal status, according to the U.S. Census, and even more people have mixed-status households. There's widespread misinformation on social media about immigration customs enforcement raids, which is fueling fear and anxiety. Isidro Marino helped organize the rally in Garden City. He says the harsh political rhetoric about immigrants makes him feel alienated.
My other fear is that there won't be no comprehensive immigration reform to give legal status to families who have been here for years.
And it's not just Marino. A lot of community members have noticed a higher sense of anxiety in their everyday lives. Liberal, for example, has the highest percentage of immigrants here without legal status in Kansas. Sarah E. Aguilera is one of the few bilingual therapists in town. Since the election, she has seen a shift in her sessions, despite no mass deportations taking place in Kansas so far.
And that's when I truly started seeing the anxiety spike up with the people that I was directly working with.
Clients have shared they are worried about going out to restaurants, seeing a doctor, or even going to church. And it's not just tough for her clients, but for Aguilera herself. She is a recipient of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which gives her protected status. But the DACA program is currently being reviewed by courts.
It has definitely been tough for me to sit in a space where I provide the safe space while at the same time I go home and I face the same fears.
Aguilera says it is also hard to provide clients a plan to deal with anxiety when much of their future and safety is uncertain. And the future of the organizations who try to help immigrants are also uncertain. Southwest Kansas Catholic Charities helps immigrants find employment and housing or work on legal documents. But their funding has been disrupted after sweeping federal cuts President Trump signed. Debbie Snapp is the executive director of the group. She says even her staff doesn't yet know the effects of the cuts.
That's probably what's most disappointing to me is that, you know, we want to do good work that helps people and helps our communities.
This corner of the state relies on immigrant labor. According to research from the New American Economy, immigrants in Southwest Kansas paid over $192 million in taxes and held more than $595 million in spending power during the last Trump administration. Alejandro Rangel Lopez is a native of Dodge City, another nearby town that is predominantly Latino. His parents are immigrants who worked at the beef packing plant for most of his life. These immigrant families are one of the main reasons some rural towns have actually seen population growth instead of steady declines in the surrounding areas.
These towns in western Kansas, Garden City, Dodge, and Liberal, are still alive this day is because of the beef packing plants and the immigrants who came here to work there, right?
And some locals fear deportations will hurt that vital industry. Rangel Lopez leads the organization New Frontiers, which specializes in voting and immigration rights. The group has organized a hotline to confirm ICE sightings and cut down on misinformation. They're also handing out cards that explain immigrant rights and in the coming months will hold Know Your Rights meetings. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Beth Golay.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.